football on off the ball.
I'm just like, football would want to have a word with itself. I've two words to itself. You'd want to have a word with yourself.
I've two words for you, Mick, in the immortal words of Martin Scorsese. That's cinema.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
But right now, it is time for the official performance rankings.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber. Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yeah. Let's make this an official kind of a celebration for Fraser, Nirvana, and all the lads. Seattle Seahawks have won the Super Bowl. They've beat New England Patriots 29-13. For just their second Super Bowl, their first since 2014, when they beat the Denver Broncos, and they have exacted revenge from the Super Bowl the following year, 2015, when they lost to the Patriots. So this is a great, great day for the boys. You are unmoved by this, nonplussed, forgettable. Forget about it.
I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan, so fair play. Now, honestly, it's an incredible achievement to be able to be rubbish.
But they're defensively very good unit here, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, people will talk about this team now for a very long time to come, but they have rebuilt the team really quickly over a couple of years with good draft picks. And to your point, there are no stars, really. They're not a team of absolute superstars who may all now become superstars, and it'll be interesting to see how long they can keep the team together. But they got a good new head coach in a couple of years ago, and he managed to align himself really well. It's such a weird sport in that, like, you have 90 people on your roster in the off-season, and then you cut it down on game day to about 53, and you have to be able to manage those resources better than everybody else. So it's partly to do with your accounting, how many of these good players you can afford, and your scouting, and then your coaching. And they just have, they are good at it. But I do enjoy the way in American football you can be rubbish and think there's a good time coming, and it's not going to be 40 years and there won't be PSR to stop you. It's like, okay, you get the best young players now because you've been bad for a few years.
Okay. So yeah. a good day for the NFL at large?
Mike McDaniel, 38. Mike McDonald, sorry.
Is this a good representative of the organization to be Super Bowl holders?
What was the? Was it Rob Lowe had the baseball cap on one time at a match with the NFL logo on it? So yeah, he's having a time, isn't he? Him and all the Seahawks lads. City of Boston is waking up to the worst hangover it's had since Saturday.
firmly in the green, Seattle Seahawks, the 2026 Super Bowl champions, moving closer to home, very close to home. Cork against Tipperary, down at Parky Queeve. A record attendance for a league standalone game, 25,000. It finished 29 points to 22 for Cork. Revenge exacted, you could say.
Yeah, that's it. They can square that circle now, it's over.
Of course, everyone that had a microphone shown in front of them from the Cork persuasion said that's nonsense, of course. It's just a league game. It's just a league. We've seen this before. Interesting game, this, right? So it was very much tit for tat, quite competitive in the first half. And then there was fracas, a melee, right at the end of the first half. There was actually 3 minutes left over to play, but the ref decided to call it right then and there, which was an issue that Ben O'Connor had and approached the referee at the break. There was a strange old occurrence where the first pair of players that were called over were brandished yellow cards, and the second pair got the box office red cards. So that was Shane Martin and Jason Ford that went off. Jake Morris and Alan Connolly got booked. And so that was the last action of the first half. It was 16 points to 12 for Cork. Cork were 16 from 20 in the first half. They were very, very accurate. But so were Tip, 12 from 16. Second half then, it was, drab enough as a result. The energy seems to go out of the place. And you could hear the players calling for each other, put it that way, even though it was an enormous crowd. You could still hear it on the TV. So the atmosphere seemed to die, which is strange because, you know, you think after a melee it would increase. But maybe the halftime break killed the momentum. And either way, Cork ran out deserved winners. But it was a fairly close game. They'll be happy enough for what they've done so far. Cork, 3 from 3. Obviously, the rest of the country will say, we've seen all this from Cork. In fact, we've seen absolutely everything right up till halftime in the All-Ireland final. But Cork won't be concerning themselves with what other people think, which is Ben O'Connor's message so far. It's about improvement from within. and they have lots to improve on. So you can't read an awful lot about it from the result. It's more about the performance. A weird old game.
Are you happy?
Yeah, it's great at the moment, yeah.
I think the big thing over the weekend was Dennis Walsh talking with Pat Ryan and just his story coming out. You know, you add that into the weekend and one of the lines in it was like, I knew Ben was going to get the job and I felt that I wasn't walking away from the football team of the 80s who'd lost heartbreaking back-to-back All-Irelands. We're getting in touch with them apropos of like out of nowhere essentially. He said he didn't know them and they were like, look, keep going, this all happened to us, and he just he was running on empty and he couldn't. The piece is great. I recommend, you know, it's typically brilliant from Dennis. He's in a sweet spot at the moment. He made that point though that he would have felt like he was walking away if he wasn't so confident in Ben O'Connor coming through. And so when you think about it in those terms, obviously it's not quite a continuum and there had been a new coaching ticket and there's a new backroom team and
new sports psychologist performance coach.
It's not exactly a continuum, but he does know so many of them from working with the underage. And Pat Ryan felt like he was able to move on, and Ben has hit the ground running, you would say. He's box office Ben.
Totally, yeah. I think the most of the country woke up to what he's going to be like there at the weekend, because it's on national TV. It was like, this guy is going to be potentially box office in his media dealings, because there's an intensity in his stare alone, and then he opens his mouth. So people are going to enjoy that.
Alan Reynolds was talking about it after the Bowls game.
He was, which is an incredible throwback. It was amazing. He was talking to our own Ben Symes after the Aviva Stadium game yesterday, Bowls and Pats. You know, no setup at all, and he did that.
Crossover appeal. That's is he now the biggest name in Irish sport? Tune in next week to find out what Ben said. It's like
that Pat Ryan piece is amazing, because he's had two good sleeps, he said, since his brother passed, which was the night of the All Ireland final and the following night, which would have been the homecoming.
I was surprised because I had to read it a few times to start. That Q&A, I think, with Matt Cooper.
That happened
the night of the final.
Yes.
Because it wasn't the night before. I was amazed that I know there's a banquet, obviously, and I know that there has to be some sort of thing to it. But I thought that was like mad that you do that. I presume you plan it anyway, but it was just like,
in case you win.
Yeah, but I would have thought like you'd have contingencies. Like, surely nobody is benefiting. Maybe it's kind of that's the exact time you should do it.
Yeah, it's like.
I thought that was incredibly admirable that you go like, all right, I got to speak, which was just like it's rough stuff.
No, in fairness, I think no one would bat an eyelid if somebody else went out and spoke, but you kind of have to. There's a lancing of the boil. It's like, look, thanks for coming.
There's
people who showed up. Like, I'm sure there's lots of empty tables, people who've bought tables and hope that you win. And then the family and friends who are there, they're the ones who you actually do want to say, look, we let you down. We're really sorry about that, but we love you very much.
It does. You're right. You're right to say that it is bad on paper, but I suppose it probably felt normal enough for him. It's just therapeutic, wasn't it, to talk within the room about what had happened?
I don't even mean specifically for him, just in general. Like, the cameras don't go there.
Yeah,
the Sunday game that night doesn't visit the loo. It's just like you kind of imagine them in their own.
That would be great, awake.
Oh yeah,
well, yeah. But
what's
the benefit of it? It's only for us.
You don't broadcast
it
live. You have the footage. You get a bit of
pretty bleak. Like,
it was no Roy Hodgson. Like, what, I don't know what I'm doing here, because by then, of course, he hadn't made up his mind. But it's a stark interview. It's very, very much worth reading. But yeah, it's good stuff. William Buckley is definitely an additional positive for Cork, wearing Patrick Horgan's jersey. And he's been good in the first two games, but marvellous play for the penalty that Cork won on the right-hand side. First of all, his persistence, then his skill. That penalty was saved by Reece Shelley from Declan Dalton, who had scored a lovely penalty against Waterford top left. He went kind of medium right this time around, so it was a handy enough save for a keeper of Shelley's quality. So this game was simmering. It was about to take off. Either way, good start for Cork. And Ben O'Connor is going to be one to look out for. You can catch him on our socials, actually. He was chatting as well after the game. So I think it's fair to say green for Cork.
Oh, yeah.
To start off.
Yeah, yeah.
Good year. As for Limerick, they're up and running after losing to Waterford. They have been Kilkenny 126 to 216. Is this another simmerer?
What do you mean?
Of a game simmered. It's about.
I don't think any of the league stuff tends to be. Even the stuff on Saturday, like everything about it looks right. Like even from things like the lights are on, crowds, good crowd. This is from like Park Cueve. But it just doesn't sound like serious hurling sounds. And it was the same sort of thing on Sunday. That was partially more so on the look. Mm. It's that kind of low enough summer sun that kind of blinds out the thing. So it's like you have obviously wherever the kind of top of the stand cuts off, the rest of the thing, and the camera keeps switching in and out of focus. And, you know, great scores go over and there's pretty polite applause. I can never get these things. It's gone so far now that even you are always kind of seeing the workings. It's like, right, what's the upshot of this? What's the benefit? Games in and of themselves. The results matter sometimes. I think Limerick needed to win. And they've definitely picked a team to win. But it's hard. I find it hard to get into these games, whatever way you cut it. Yeah. You know, it's not that they don't care. They do care. I think Keane Lynch said it afterwards. He said something along the lines of, like, it's not... I forget the exact words. I should have looked it up, but... It wasn't like the result. He stressed, I think, that the result's obviously not the main component here. It's not really what you're looking for. But obviously, and it was funny, Mick made this point after, I was talking to him after the Waterford Limerick game, and he made a great point about like how, what he reckons, among those kind of elite counties, he's like, any of them can beat any of them if they really need to win it. And Waterford, obviously coming off the back of that shellacking against Cork, really needed that win at home. And Limerick this week really needed that win. So I kind of, but if what it tells you, I don't know. Like, I really don't know.
I suppose afterwards, when the season is over, they'll tell you that they were working on certain things and they don't, unfortunately, they don't send us notes in advance. Hey, we're trying this thing out. Yeah. You notice it's working for us. We're doing really well. There's been a lot of talk about the structure of the elite structure, the Division 1 killing the weaker teams and how it's important for the weaker teams to get some exposure to the stronger teams. I don't know if the Downhurlers feel that after what happened against Clare. The margin of victory was 3 goals and 20 points. A 29-point lead. Like. 3:35 to 15 points was the full-time score.
Now, they did well against Wexford a few weeks ago.
So maybe Wexford are...
Wexford are struggling. But I it's not... the gap's too big. I don't know, you can't bridge that like in just by playing again and again. I just don't think that's going to do it. There's just no kind of, there's no perfect time in hurling. There's nothing you're reaching back to where it's like, oh, this was a great period of, you know, like for counties, I mean, that are like, have no hope. There's never, but it's just, the gap's too big. The strength and depth is way too big.
Now, Kildare did beat Antrim, which is an interesting little subplot to 3:21 to 20 points. Davy is still, as far as we, it's still the Antrim manager.
I mean, yeah.
It's just, that's not working out, is it?
No.
That just hasn't worked.
Never going to.
He was livid after day one. Livid on the pitch. He'd be cranky anyway because of the constant journeys alone.
It's not close.
Would wreck the most humble and measured person's mind. Let alone someone who's susceptible to inner emotions coming out as Davy is. Yeah, so it want to be working. It want to be successful for it to work.
It's just a shame. It's just like it's a shame that like in this, and this never would have happened before. But this weekend, I was lamenting the lack of football on, and I saw one thing on Saturday night. I was saying, I think I had to mention it. I might have mentioned it to you. I mentioned it to someone on Saturday night. They had a little banner come up on the bottom of RTE where it's like, oh, next Saturday, Kerry Galway. I was like, oh, looking forward to that already. Whereas like you're watching maybe the two best teams in the country, two of the best three on that Saturday night. And it's just kind of like, I know, like it's just like this is inconsequential. And it's even more starker, I suppose. Maybe it's more stark because last year we literally saw what Cork Hammer tip last year in the league or... Am I right on that? I don't know how they got on in the league. Anyway, but whatever it was, they hammered them in the league final. And in the end, it amounts to nothing. It doesn't, you know what I mean? But it doesn't, when it matters most at the end of the year and chips are down, it didn't matter. So I just, or it mattered in an indecipherable way that we can't appreciate until afterwards.
Didn't Clare win the league the previous year? And
they
said that there was some retrospective that was really important to us because we got over the line in the big game. Like, well, was that going through anybody's head when you were playing Cork? Like, anyway.
It's a shame.
Look, there's a lack of intensity to the whole proceeding as well. It's like, it's a very, very high-octane friendly vibe to it. Whereas, like, you're watching incredibly skillful players doing their thing and they're just warming up, just getting going.
Yeah.
They're stretching, proverbially.
Yeah, they are. The skill level is off the charts for, like...
It's remarkable. And you grow so...
Pitch is heavy.
Accustomed to it. And the pitch is looking fantastic.
Pitch looking really good.
Walsh Park yesterday looked horrendous. I watched a bit of Waterford Offaly. Jesus, it looked appalling by comparison. But they've... Park Creeve looked ready to go, like, as if it was the height of summer. You just appreciate the skill level at this point of time. Now, it's better to win, obviously. Like, if you started off 0-3 under Ben O'Connor, you'd be worried. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, again, when Cork win, it's like, okay, shrug of the shoulders. If Cork lose, it's a story.
Could we move everything back a month and have, like, Stigerson and Fitzgibbon have their own window in this weather? Like, Brian Flanagan was talking afterwards about the injuries that Kildare have suffered. Screeny was out again for Offaly at the weekend. And you would just love to have him be able to concentrate on one thing and not be getting flogged with two games of the week. Because actually... him a month's time with Fitzgibbon under it might actually be able to do even more for Offaly. And it's those weaker, so-called weaker counties that would benefit more from having players in the... Anyway, I'm not getting into fixtures and let's...
I think Liam Cass are the same. All right, where are we off to? So, I have to give that a colour. That's green for Limerick, is it? Bounce back, a Partridge style.
Yeah.
All right, football, Premier League. We'll move to Manchester United. Up next in the performance rankings, I believe. So for United, what's the significance of the date, February 2024? Anyone?
It's not really a date, is it?
2 years ago. Well, there's 28 of them, or possibly 29, depending on the year. What is the significance of that time? I tell you. That's the last time United won 4 games in a row.
Ah.
2 years.
The man's hair.
Month. So the boy's hair is ready to be cut if United go to West Ham.
Oh.
There's a raft of midweek games this week. Everyone's playing. And if they do it, finally he can cut the hair. So it's 4 from 4 for the first time in 2 years. United now 44 points, which is already 2 more than last season.
Huh.
Not better, yeah. Spurs yet to win a game in 2026 in the Premier League. And Spurs were unbeaten in their last 8 games against United, including 6 in the league. So this game, again, United were superior side. Conor Gallagher had a good chance where he swiped the volley from across over the top.
When it was nil-all.
When it was 11-a-side. And when it was 11-a-side. So you could argue, look, United took full advantage when Spurs were reduced to 10 men when Christian Romero once again got sent off. One sending off in every 25 Spurs games. Christian Romero, which isn't bad actually, really, when you think about it. It's just that he got sent off there.
Terrible.
He got sent off there in December.
One every 25 games.
2 months ago.
That's twice a season.
Oh, yeah, but
it's terrible.
So he'll get 4 games now because it's a second red card, so he's gone.
He's a shambles. He killed his team. Like,
he's a good player if he could just mind himself, but he can't mind himself.
He's not a good player.
He is a good player.
He's not a good player.
He's a good player. You can take away the discipline. He's a good player.
But you can't take away the discipline. He's going to miss 4 games now. They're going to have 9 left or whatever when he comes back.
Paul Scholes had no discipline.
Paul Scholes wasn't getting sent off twice a season.
He wasn't getting sent off because the refs decided not to send him off. I don't know why. Paul Scholes has been sent off loads of times. It doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's a liability with his discipline.
But that part plays into being a good player.
No, it doesn't. He's still a good defender.
What does that mean?
He's
a crazy
level of ill discipline. It doesn't mean he's a bad defender.
That is literally what it means. If you're not disciplined, how can you be a good defender?
He wouldn't make it as high as he's made it if he was terrible.
So why are Spurs where they are? Why is he playing the team that's lost so many games over the last 2 years?
I'd say Christian Romero and Mickey van de Ven are two of the positives of Spurs. I'd say collectively as a team they're not great.
But why do they keep conceding so many goals?
It's not down to those two boys at centre back. Not just. It's a team effort. I think it's not that black and white with everything. Like, you could be a good player and have this massive fault, which is Romero's discipline, which is crazy. He can't mind himself. He's still a good defender. He just can't mind himself. So he turns out to be a liability. He's a liability. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. There's a fine line. Anyway, this is a crazy thing to focus in on. I'm just saying.
But it turned
the game. Sit off. It was 0-0. Yeah, it turned the game.
It lost the game.
Now, I think United probably were shading this anyway. But we'll never know. We'll
it
never
actually
know.
Comes off the back, though, of him in midweek also slating the club.
I know. It's not a good week for Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's not a good player.
He's a good player. It's not a good week, though. He's a good defender.
You'd be better off with him not there.
Well, they'll have plenty of opportunity now. For the next four games, he won't be there.
It's so, six red cards in all competitions since August 2021.
Yeah. And obviously, needless to say, no one has been sent off more in that time since he's been at the club. It's a terrible knack in his game, the old sending off. Good player, though. In my opinion, he's a good player.
I don't know.
Anyway, United, very good. Once again, expressive football. Didn't kill them off, though. Didn't kill them off until
late.
That second goal. That was the only thing. Now, the thing about Spurs, I was texting a Spurs buddy of mine. Maybe Bobby Dwyer had plenty to say about this. As soon as United went one up, as soon as Mbeumo put the ball in the net, he said, this game's over. We will not get back into this. I think the only chance they had, Xavi Simons had a volley, which went just wide. And I think that's it for Spurs, was it?
Yeah, they were crap. They were useless.
I think that's it.
It's worse they're getting. Then again, it doesn't help if your captain's getting sent off 20-odd minutes into a game. Again.
They did manage to come back in worst scenario, just midweek. Do you know, we went 1-0 down.
Well, they weren't down to 10 men, crucially.
That's a fair
point. And they did it against City.
Yeah.
With 11 men. Imagine what they would have done yesterday.
And who was playing?
So the chat's gone mad.
Who was playing that game?
The chat's gone mad. Sergio Ramos, Patrick Vieira. Are they diminished in your eyes? As
they're considerably more accomplished players over a thing. Like, he's playing for Spurs.
Yeah, but your argument is because he gets sent off, he's a bad player.
No. I'm not saying because he gets sent off, he's a bad player. I'm saying he's not so good in and of himself in what he does that he can afford to have that flaw. That brings his general down.
You said he was a bad player.
But that's what I'm saying. I do think he is. I don't think you're saying he's a good player. I don't think he's a good player because he has that flaw. Sergio Ramos is playing into Sergio Ramos also has a bad flaw, but he by nature of what he's accomplished, he has a higher level. He's not dropping down as much as your boy is from getting this flaw. This brings his average way down.
He is my boy, you're right. You're giving him to me, right? He is a good player in spite of his discipline.
I don't think so.
It doesn't because he gets sent off loads, does not mean your career defined by being a bad player.
He is defined by that though. If people were to ask what is the defining thing for Cristiano Ronaldo, he gets sent off.
I think when he plays, Spurs fans are quite happy that he's playing.
Are Spurs fans happy with how their team's doing the last two seasons?
Yeah, but that's not Chris Romero's thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think you would have to dig into it.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, it wouldn't be a big deal if Romero played the whole game and United won 2-0. It's still the same outcome. It doesn't change any opinion about Romero. Van de Ven, good player too. These lads they're good players, like. It's a bad team. Spurs have a bad team. I would not put it down to the two centre-halves. I would not put it down to Cristiano Ronaldo as the reason that they're in this position, once again, lower half of the table. This is not a Cristiano Ronaldo problem. His problem is discipline. Now, they need to probably take the captain's armband off him because he's never around.
Yeah, well, that's definitely going to happen anyway for the next four games. Sorry, are we done on this game? Are we getting to?
Well, it's a green for United, isn't it? I mean, look at us. Look at us getting passionate about Spurs. And then we have nothing to say about United. There's a good piece about Michael Carrick and The Athletic. But how he's changed everything around, you know. Casemiro feels like a footballer now. Carrick waits in his car to watch his son train.
Yeah, well,
for hours on end.
And that was, I think, before he got the job.
Yeah, but he's
busier now.
Yeah.
He's allowed to wander.
And he watches the youth games, which Ruben Amorim did not. I mean, is Ruben Amorim furious now? Is he furious or relieved, would you say? What do you think his overriding emotion would be?
It's his fault, though.
Huh?
It's his fault.
What do you think he's feeling? Do you think he's annoyed now that this is happening? Or he's like, oh, it's going to work with these lads.
Oh, he's absolutely annoyed.
I think he's annoyed, but it's his fault at the same time.
It's a stunning failure.
Like, you have a situation now where people are, I think it was in The Athletic as well, where, like, people are legitimately asking, is Bruno Fernandes the best player in the league? And, like, agree or disagree, but, like, it's like, oh, it's a conversation. And you were playing him in the wrong position for no apparent reason.
Kobbie Mainoo.
Like, Kobbie Mainoo. I was saying that if Man United had bought Kobbie Mainoo at the start of January,
he'll be like this
for 80 million, and he was playing the way he was playing. You're like, geez, this guy's he'll do a job.
Can I just say, I know anyone knew about Bruno Fernandes in numbers, 200 goal involvements. The only player who has more goal involvements since Bruno Fernandes signed for United in the whole league.
Erling Haaland?
Mo Salah.
Oh.
Speaking of Liverpool.
Oh, since he joined the league, obviously.
Wow. Liverpool. And this segued there to move it on to you. So this is new, right? This is new for Liverpool. get this, right? Bernardo Silva equalised, I want to say, in the 83rd minute, 84th minute, okay? In and around. Liverpool have never lost a game, Ger, and Arthur, and everyone, in the Premier League when they're 1-0 up at that stage of the game at Anfield. This was a first. And it did feel unusual.
Yeah, very weird finish.
You know? Unusual the way that Man City winning 2-1 at Anfield in that manner.
Well, yeah.
Erling Haaland scores a penalty. And he has finally now scored at Anfield. First goal at Anfield in the league. The only stadium now he's yet to score in all the teams he's played against in the Premier League, Stadium of Light. He'll have completed the rounds. But then, so a weird one. Liverpool poor in the first half. Very poor. Mo Salah. I mean, is Arne Slot vindicated now? Is he kind of letting Salah burn himself out by playing him? Being like, I told you this guy, you know, this guy isn't really worth it. Second half, marginally improved. Salah, in fairness, beautiful. Beautiful cross to Hugo Ekitike outside the left foot. Misheader by Ekitike. Yeah. Liverpool marginally better. City probably shaded this game.
I'd have given it to Liverpool on the second half, to be honest with you. I thought they were better, but I don't know what the hell happened. It was such a strange... It was great. I was trying to figure out if he meant it. Do you think Haaland meant that header into Silva's path? Like, he wasn't like going for goal from where he was.
I feel like he was facing
the goal when it happened. I don't think he nodded it on.
Whoa.
Now, I could be wrong. It could be very obvious. I just remember seeing at the time and it was like, if he's meant to do that, if he's anticipated the run of Silva in, just because they're kind of parallel-ish or straight on one another. Anyway, it was only a small thing, but I just thought, if he's meant that, that's incredible.
Stick the ball back in the corridor and certainly hope to get there.
Who was keeping Bernardo on side?
I don't know.
I
never saw a replay or never saw anybody.
Sobislay was too deep, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because it just looked unusual.
Acres of space.
Ryan Cherki really makes a difference to them, doesn't he, when he came on. I was surprised not to see him start. I don't think Pep is overly convinced by him.
Did you see Enzo Fernandez Rabona in the Chelsea game? I was like, what are you doing?
Bruno did one as well.
Bruno was a cross, wasn't it? It was a good cross, actually.
We're all going to have a little competition to see who can, after Cherki earlier in the season. I was like, oof.
What was the situation for Enzo?
He could have shot with his left foot.
Oh, sorry.
He could have shot with his left foot and he does this Rabona and it goes straight at the keeper and they're like, oh, well, that would have been interesting if it goes in. And he kind of, I'm like, what? Sell him in the summer.
Do you have respect for a hat-trick in which two of them are penalties?
That's not one of those balls that you're signing. The fact that it's his fourth.
The most noteworthy thing about that game to see afterwards where he was soloing the ball that he was taking home is this kind of semi-viral video where he has the jacket on called Parma, the hood up, and he's soloing the ball across the side and everyone's like, it's amazing. This is so stupid. I think if you're a decent Sunday league player, you could do this. But it looked pretty cool.
Okay.
He was doing it, right?
Yeah.
So he gets a 2 from 3.
There was one other thing on that, because one of the skiers in the downhill, the left ski pops off and they just automatically ski down on one leg. And apparently that's how you learn to ski. If you're like but the rest of the world are going, oh my God, look at this, unbelievable. And then all the, well, actually, I'll find most skiers are capable of doing this.
I hear you. First time City have done the double on Liverpool in the league since 1937. Wow. Are Liverpool bad champions, as Roy Keane says?
No, I think the Jota thing takes. I think that's the intangible that you don't know. So that's they've been really poor.
Yeah,
that's just the one thing. It's like bad champions, it fixes a moral element to it that I'm like, not comfortable making that judgment.
Yeah, I don't know if we forgot about the Jota thing at one point here, analysing them. It is true; it's very, very difficult. But I don't actually think they're a bad team. Still, I still think like I don't think they're a bad bet in the Champions League. I still think there's a lot to Liverpool. They've been poor in the league. Anyway, they're known as a red Arsenal. Like, once again for Arsenal, marvellous weekend. They've reacted to that Manchester United defeat brilliantly. The thing with Arsenal is the way they're going to win the league is not in a way that is universally respected, right? Because they're going to, you know, set piece FC and all that.
Are they bad champions?
They score well-organised goals. You know, Irish rugby, no stars. Real well-organised goals. And they beat teams that they should be beating, which is harder said or harder done than said. They may struggle against United in that instance. They didn't create an awful lot. But then you go to Leeds and you win handsomely. You beat Sunderland. So they're just doing the job. They're doing the job quite. Everyone's like, yeah,
and that's when you win the league.
That is how you do it. Like, that is how you win the league. So I think that's what they're going to do. Now, I don't know if Haaland's winning penalty means that there's slightly still a title race, because this week City play first. So City go, and if they win, it'll be 3 points. And then Arsenal have to go to Keith Andrews Brentford on Thursday.
Well, that's a game.
So that's the only thing. So if Brentford do a job there, would definitely have a title race, 3 points in it.
They still have to play each other, don't they?
Arsenal have to go to the Etihad. But so, and look, that could be a game where they lose, but they can still win the league because they're beating everyone else. They're just doing the job. They're just doing it well, and they're spreading the joy around the team. You know, because there was that over-reliance in Saka phase that they went through for years and years.
Yeah.
That it was Saka or nobody.
Half a billion later.
They reverted to that against United. When the shit hit the fan, they were like, give it to Saka because we don't know what to do. But generally speaking, 90% of the time, this is working out fine, where if you don't catch an Arsenal game and they win it, and you look up who scored, genuinely in my mind, it's like, this could be an array of 7 or 8 players who scored the goals.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams would be desperate for that. So anyway, did the job. They're firmly in the green. As for your latcher, I believe the day that you mentioned to Jonathan Wilson that, like, could this be on? And you looked at the next five fixtures, and what has happened since?
Counted chickens.
Oh, yeah. Hell, man. What has happened
that.
Since?
Oh, God, you had a fixture run.
Counted my chickens.
You had, Jonathan.
I did also back them not to finish in the top four.
Oh, that's just hedging.
Yeah, but why would you? Why, that's a yeroism of your villainy.
Yeah.
But no, like,
it's like put my money where my mouth is.
You says, Jonathan, next five games.
In the meantime, Yuri Tielemans got injured.
Yeah, that's what happened. On that,
it all hinges on, he is their best player. Morgan Rogers is the one that, but the Villa fans voted for Tielemans as their best player last year.
What? Bournemouth lost Semenyo. It's like you're not playing teams that are at 100% either, do you know?
Well, they also signed a 19-year-old.
Yeah, but that's not
came
it.
On and
yeah, he's class, but like it's not for life.
They didn't just lose Tielemans. They lost their entire starting midfield. Kamara did his PCL, and John McGinn is out. So they're the engine of the team. They're playing with Douglas Luiz, who was like off the scrap heap, straight in the team.
How much did they pay for him?
Jadon Sancho. He's on loan. Jadon Sancho on loan, and they had to bring Leon Bailey back, and he's getting game time. They're just the squad, and partly it's their own fault and partly it's their own responsibility. They signed a 19-year-old Brazilian called Alisson, who they didn't even register in the Europa League squad. It's like he's in witness protection. It's like all the teenagers who come to Villa, they sign for 10, 15 million. Emery puts them in for a game, and then they're like out on loan to Beşiktaş or out on loan to some other Turkish team you haven't even heard of. And it's like, all right, well, seems to be like a lot of money that they've invested there. Maybe if you piled all that money into one and signed a grown-up as opposed to...
Oh, they brought in Tammy Abraham, didn't they?
Yeah, but part of the makeway for that was a Turkish defender who they'd signed for 10 million. You're like, oh, this is what they should be doing, signing these centre-backs and getting them in the team. It's like, no, yeah, we don't like her. We don't like your type around here, so...
Anyway, look, they're in a mini-island themselves, Villa, at the moment, third on 47 points, 3 points ahead of Manchester United in fourth, and 3 points behind Manchester City in second. And look, they didn't lose. They drew with Bournemouth.
Yeah, and
they were winning.
I think that's actually fine. They were hammered.
They should have lost, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And so that is a good thing.
Good sign to the champions.
When, you know,
get something from something.
Villa are going to lose between 10 and 14 games and potentially finish fifth. And if they finish fifth, it's a great season.
Has everyone in our performance rankings been green except Liverpool and red, which would... I mean, what we give Villa here?
Villa and Amber. Because they got a point.
Amber for point. What was Luca Dean doing? It looked really bad, but it clearly wasn't just Luca Dean.
No, I think...
It was a miscommunication. He thought someone had him.
Yeah, I think there's like a centre-back and a Buendia and other people needed to be back there clogging up the midfield. That's where John McGinn would have been.
Yeah.
That's where Tielemans would have been. That's where Camara would have been. Anyway,
yeah. Just before I leave the Premier League, Igor Thiago, after his penalty away to Newcastle on Saturday evening, 17 Premier League goals this season, Igor Thiago. 17.
Pretty good, isn't it?
That's Malcolm Christie, Marcus Stewart stuff. You know, when you have a striker, is that a real good season? It might not be a one season wonder. It could be the start of something for Paul Igor.
Malcolm Christie.
So Amber there for Aston Villa, and League of Ireland will finish up on. Now, this is something that I work backwards from by starting with selecting Amber for League of Ireland opening weekend. Not great. Right, not great. Unfortunately, Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk didn't happen. Fell to the weather. Now, Friday was interesting up north. Derry beating Sligo 2-1. James McLean making his return in the Premier Division. Playing central midfield. For people who missed this, right? McLean is the most left-sided player you can think of. Maybe it's partly smart by Tierney Lynch to keep him away from the fans anyway, put him centre mid, keep him physically away from fans as much as possible. He played there in the President's Cup. The plan is to play McLean there. And mixed bag for him. Wasn't great at times in the first half. Second half, he was a symbol of his team, got better. They equalised late on, they ended up winning the game. Bad old day for Russell, because it was a tight enough match. But McLean was okay. He was okay centre mid, eventually.
He'll obviously have like stamina to burn, like you can just like no long, but I'm not sure. Yeah, that he didn't look, is not like it, you know, you expect kind of thing if we come back, like it looked, and maybe the technical aspect of it, and maybe it is, his deliveries are probably going to be good, like they were all right, but like I wonder what his kind of USP will be, how you'll identify.
I was asking Keith and Barry that on Friday, was, you know, is he technical enough to go centre mid even at that level, and they both had absolutely no doubts about him.
But what's the point of, why don't you just put him on the left wing and destroy?
I don't know. This is like what Austria do with their Bayern Munich player.
Alaba.
Yeah, just put him centre mid.
No, he was very good
there. But he's technical. He's technical, you know?
Yeah, when he was a kid, he was running the game against us. Yeah. They are different. I just think he would like absolutely dominate. He's like, I don't know if you ever get the chance to come back and watch the full England-Argentina 86 game, they bring on John Barnes with about 20 minutes left to go, and he is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's like, they got the ball to him, and the goal comes, and there's another chance that they nearly equalise from 2-0 down in the hand of God game, and you just get somebody who's completely dominant in one part of the pitch, and the rule is, get the ball to him.
You see, Roddy wasn't happy with the signing of James McLean. He said, you can't take him off. The problem is he's going to run the team.
It did seem like... there's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, a little
bit. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, Vinnie Perth is listening, by the way. He's on standby. He's texting me about this, right?
Yeah.
One more time there for the question. Damien Duff's clubs for WhatsApp 0879 180 180, Braeburn voucher. Complete the sequence: Blackburn, Chelsea, blank, Fulham, Melbourne City, Shamrock Rovers. Former Shells boss, of course. Shells drew 1-1 at Waterford. Drogheda won at Galway. And then yesterday at Aviva, a 0-0 drab draw between Bowles and Pats. It was horrendous. Jeez, we'll talk with Vinny about it, but the first half was poor. I don't know if this pitch is too big for these lads or what, but it got going in the second half a bit. It wasn't half bad in the end, but it was a poor first half. But anyway, I would have League of Ireland first weekend in amber. What about you?
Well, it's back. There are storylines.
Yeah, amber.
And that's your performance rankings. Vinny next.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.